For more than 40 years, journalist Jonathan Randall has been writing about the Middle East and the Arabs as a long-time and now retired foreign correspondent for The Washington Post. His new book is called Osama, The Making of a Terrorist. A central part of the story that Randall unfolds is in Afghanistan. There, Osama bin Laden, the Saudi son of a self-made multimillionaire immigrant from Yemen, became a well-known fundraiser and supporter of the struggle, the jihad, against the Soviet Union. He returned to Saudi Arabia and to the acclaim of his countrymen.
His name was on every lip. He was the hero of the day. I mean, everybody, it wasn't just the royal family. The average Saudi was so proud. And when he came back from Afghanistan the first time in 89, he was feted from one end of the kingdom to the other.
After September 11th, 2001, when people on all continents were denouncing the violence wrought by al-Qaeda, led by Osama bin Laden, was he still a hero throughout the lands where he had been so well received during the Afghan war?
You've got to distinguish something that's extremely important in jihadi thinking. What is it? It is the feeling that we in the West have high-tech this, high-tech that, and that we don't really risk our necks. It isn't David and Goliath. Mm-hmm. And there's that aspect of Osama and those people who fight in his name that has transformed the struggle, at least in their own minds. Certainly in 98, when Osama's people blew up the American embassy in Nairobi and tried to do the same to the American embassy next door, people were very upset because more than 200 black Africans were killed. And people were saying, wait a minute, why are the Kenyans being punished for something that Osama says the West in general and the Americans particularly are guilty about? And there was some unease there until we then used cruise missiles to hit the training camps in Afghanistan and also the famous case of the pharmaceutical plant in the Sudan. And then it was, well, this is typically what the West does. It's high tech. You don't see your enemy. It comes out of the sky. And somehow many of the doubts disappeared.
So the contrast in the jihadist eyes would be between Osama bin Laden, hero on the ground, armed with the rifle or the RPG against the Soviets in Afghanistan, or assisting the fellow who is, real heroism in their view, and on the other hand, high-tech cowardice, the cruise missile that comes from nowhere.
Yes, it's oversimplified, but that's what it comes down to.
And on more than one occasion in your book, you remark on the eloquence of Osama bin Laden.
There is that incredible ability of his to move people. He describes the American role, the military presence in Saudi Arabia, which he opposed, as a swarm of locusts stealing the wealth. There's a poem that he wrote after the attack on the USS Cole in October 2000, in which he talks about the pride of the American destroyer and how it comes to grief at the hands of his people. It's that kind of thing. These are touchstones that make it so telling for a Muslim audience.
So this is someone who would be received by, let's say, a young Saudi who wasn't educated abroad as an eloquent, heroic, prophetic voice?
Prophetic, I don't know. I mean, prophetic in that, yes, in that going back literally to the founding fathers, the first four imams of Islam, yes. It's back to the basics. He's clean. I mean, he's a peculiar fellow. I mean, he doesn't even believe in ironing his clothes because he doesn't believe in air conditioning. I mean, he's something of an ascetic. He's very much of an ascetic.
When he went to the racetrack, you're right, he actually plugged up his ears so he wouldn't hear the bugle being sounded for the race.
I mean, because music is haram, is forbidden. But there is something about Osama that is everything that many modern Arabs aren't. He's ascetic. He comes across as being sincere. He comes across being dedicated. he comes across as the man who's not going to cut corners. He says he's going to punish the Americans, and he does it.
At one point, you describe his role in the jihadist movement as being sort of the Ford Foundation of the fight. He's the man who gives out seed grants.
I'll give you an example. Just before the millennium, this fellow named Rassam.
He's the man who is charged with trying to blow up Los Angeles International Airport for the millennium.
Exactly. Yeah. When you trace his case back, and it's a very interesting case, but when it comes to the money, he'd gone out to one of Osama's training camps. He'd been trained, and Osama gave him $12,000 and said, "You pick the target, you do it, it's your game." I mean, $12,000 just isn't very much money.
So what is it that takes this man, this, as you describe him, this not unusually skinflint Saudi of Yemenite extraction businessman, who would send off a bomber to cook up a millennium plot with a mere $12,000, to then fund September 11th to the tune of $500,000?
I think it was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed came into view. They talked. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed had a very distinguished record from Osama's point of view. He'd been involved in a plot to blow up 12 airliners over at the Pacific in 95. And Osama was smart enough to say, this is somebody I'm going to invest in because he knows how to get things done.
How important is Osama bin Laden, as opposed to the movement that he took leadership of and that he engendered and inspired?
Osama is important as a symbol. He always was a symbol. I don't think Osama's life or death is that important. He has become a driving force, inspiring people all over the world to do what they hope to be similar kinds of exploits. We've seen it in Turkey, we've seen it in Morocco, we've seen it in more recently in Spain. There's absolutely no reason to think that's going to stop.
Well, Jonathan Randall, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jonathan Randall, the author of Osama, The Making of a Terrorist.